Acts chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 22. The Bible reads, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening that we can gather in this place. Thank you for your word. We pray tonight you might speak to our hearts from it. I pray, O God, for the anointing of the Spirit of God in this service. I pray, O Father, that our hearts be receptive to the leadership of the Spirit, to His wooing, to His words, to His very intent in our heart. O God, tonight, do that which only you can do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated tonight. As we read this passage, we find the Apostle Paul coming to a spot in verse number 26 that is absolutely amazing. He says, "Wherefore, I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." I want to take you back to the book of Ezekiel for just a little while. The book of Ezekiel in chapter number 33. Excuse me, I'm going to go chapter 3 first of all. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 3. I want you to see the basis and the background from which we find Paul speaking here to the Ephesian elders. In chapter number 3 and verse number 15, allow me to read here if you're not there yet. It says, "Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabim, that dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, and nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." Chapter number 33, if you would please. Ezekiel 33. And I want to read here, beginning in verse number 1, very, very similar passage. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. O thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. These verses came home to me tonight very, very vividly. For many years, we had neighbors that lived in the little white house next door. And through the years, I had the privilege of becoming friends with all of them. First with their daddy, and then with two sons, and then with mama in the later years. And then also I've met and had some conversations with their daughters. Tonight, as we began prayer meeting at 6:15, the youngest of the boys, Danny, went out into eternity. And now he's dead. And I believe, in what is sad to say, probably in the pit of hell. And though he's been warned, and though he'd been told, his choice was not to accept my Savior. That is one case that I can say with the Apostle Paul, I am free from his blood. But oh my goodness, most of the time I'm afraid that is not the case. And so often in our lives we find ourselves in that position where we've known somebody, we never really ever talked to him about the Savior. We never took those moments or those opportunities, or we never made those opportunities to tell them of our Savior. And so we have these verses here that teach us, I believe, a very, very important truth. You know, one of the mistakes that modern church, I believe, makes is that we believe that somehow we can change men by our oratory and our charisma. And we make results. And I put that in quotation marks. We make results at the altar, perhaps, the criteria of a successful message and ministry. When I don't believe that is actually the case at all. God has repeatedly told us that faithfulness is what He is looking for, not results. God wants us to be faithful in giving the message, and it is His reason for rewarding us. J. Vernon McGee said something like this. He said he didn't look at those who went forward in a church service, but at those who walked out as to whether they were leaving having been sufficiently warned of that which could come upon their soul. And I believe there becomes, for you and I, a tremendous message from God. Are we warning the lost? You know, we are simply to sow and water and let God give the increase, realizing that all results lie with Him, realizing that what a person does with it is their business, but you and I must sow the seed. You and I must water that seed. That is our responsibility. God has made us watchmen. As a pastor, God has made me a watchman for this local church. And it's my duty and responsibility to be on watch and to be on guard for that which is seeking to destroy it. As a Sunday school teacher, if you be one of those, you're a watchman for your class. God has put you there. And those people that are in that class are a responsibility laid upon you to warn them of that which is coming upon them. As a master club teacher, you have a responsibility to warn those who are in front of you and to tell them that there is judgment for their sin, there is a devil to shun and a God to accept. As a master club worker, you are a watchman to your child or to your small group. You are very, very responsible for what takes place in those lives. As a junior church worker, you are a watchman for those that are in your charge. As a worker on the job, you are a watchman for those with whom you work, your fellow workmen. As a resident, you are a watchman for your neighbor, those who live round about you. As a family member, you are a watchman to tell them of Jesus and to be on guard for that which is seeking to destroy their soul in hell. Listen, if we fail our job, If we fail to warn them, their blood is upon our hands. God holds us responsible to warn them of the enemy that is approaching. In those days, the cities were walled. There would be those who were placed in strategic locations where they could gaze out over the horizon. And their responsibility was to watch for the enemy as it was coming upon that city. And throughout the night, there would be normally three different watches. And so there would be that time whereby they would change watch. And then a new one would come on so that they might be alert and they might be there if somebody came upon them to awaken the city of an approaching enemy. I believe the enemy of every man's soul is Satan, who seeks to devour him. And you and I have been set as watchmen. However, we find it many times as watchmen. We find ourselves way too busy in our own affairs. Many times we find ourselves more excited about fellowship than being a watchman. Sometimes we might be in a Sunday school class. We might be in a master club meeting. We might even be in a church service. And we're more concerned about what we are going to do with our fellow brother as to help a young person to come to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. You know, God has entrusted us with sometimes 60 to 90 kids every Wednesday night. God entrusts us with young people on Sunday morning. God gives to us these people. And if you and I do not do our job, then somebody may end up in hell as a result of it. I have found that many times there are folks who are busy texting rather than helping a young person really know the Word of God. I have found that there are those who are busy talking to others while young people are in need of a counselor. I find that there are folks who are making excuses and using them to be absent when kids are headed to hell. Brethren, we have been set a watchman over the things that God wants us to, over those particular ones God's given us charge to. And God wants us to be effective watchmen. Amen? God has given us these to whom we can speak. And as your watchman tonight, I must warn you and help you to understand that there is a tremendous responsibility placed upon every one of us for those whom are before us. God has given them to us that we might be of help and a blessing to them. I believe in order to be an effective watchman, we need to understand something. That is, first of all, we need to have an ear that is disciplined. Notice verse 7 of chapter number 3. It's very similar to chapter number 33 and verse 7. Verse 17, excuse me. And it's very similar to 33:7. It says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel." God has made us watchmen. And we make application of that tonight in our own lives. But let's notice here what he says. "Therefore, hear the word at my mouth." If we're going to be effective in our watching, then we must have an ear that is disciplined to listen to the truth of the Word of God. We must have an ear that is willing to hear at the mouth of God. We must have an ear that looks at the Word of God, and as it hears and understands, this is divine authority. It is that by which we go by. We must have an ear that is disciplined to learn of Christ and who He is. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. We talk today about the resurrection of our Savior. We talk about, at Christmas time, the incarnation of Christ. He came to this world that He might, what, live and die for you and me, and He might rise again and thus be at the right hand of the Father in glory to be our intercessor throughout all of our life and to be the King of Kings throughout all of glory. We need to learn of Christ and who He is and discover the wonderful truths. I believe also, if we're going to have an ear that's disciplined, an ear that's available to God, we must get alone with God and know that it is from Him. One of the things that I really decry in our day and age is prepared lessons. Prepared by somebody else and given to an individual just to give it to somebody else. You know, if we are going to be a watchman, we need to see the enemy ourselves. Amen? And if we're going to have a disciplined ear, then we need to hear that word, of course by teachers, of course through books, of course through all those avenues, but we must know, hey, it comes from God. It is from Him. For if we stand in front of others and it is from somebody else, then we have not what it takes really to deliver the message that we need to deliver. Get alone with God and know that it is from Him. We have ears that are disciplined to hear the Word of God. I believe, secondly, we need a tongue that is educated. In other words, you and I must be able to what? Give them warning from me. There are folks who need to hear the message. There are folks who need to hear it very clear. And they need to be very precise. And so we must be prepared to tell others of our Savior. So we need that ear to hear the Word at God's mouth. And then we need to have our tongue prepared to tell others. Now that doesn't mean you're going to have great oratorical ability. Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. I have found that warnings don't necessarily have to be oratorically correct. Have you noticed that? I mean, if you're about to come into danger, hey, get off of there, is just good enough. Amen? I mean, seriously, we're warning somebody. And yet, it needs to be a tongue that is educated that say, hey, what we need to get away from, or what it is that is coming upon us. I believe also, as that tongue is educated, there is something that is very necessary in our lives. And it comes from being alone with God, and that is having a passion within to deliver. There must be that passion. Far too often we enter into a setting. Perhaps you sat down with a young person and you have a Bible verse you're trying to teach them in Master Club. And it's sitting before them, but they seem a little bit disinterested. You know, a lot of times their disinterest is because we lack passion. Because it's not real to us. And when that becomes very real to us, and we're excited about it, it's a part of us, that begins to rub off onto others. Must come from passion. Not out of hatred, not out of anger. I've had and seen preachers stand in the pulpit and preach with anger, preach with hatred in their heart, it seemed like. And though they say the truth, it's not with a passion, not with a love, and a desire to see real changes in lives. The tongue must be educated that it can deliver the message of God. God has made us watchmen. God has made me a watchman as a pastor. I'm a watchman of this church. God has made many in this room watchmen as Sunday school teachers. And you're a watchman for your class. You have a responsibility to warn them of the danger that lie ahead. And all do we not know that there are tremendous dangers that lie in the path of individuals. And yet we are a watchman that must be in that position. We find that God has made us watchmen in other places, in master clubs that we have in our church, as teachers, as workers. And yea, even those who are working with young folks in a game time situation. We're watchmen. They are in our church. And they need that kind of care. As a worker, you're a watchman to your fellow workers. Tomorrow as you go to your job and you punch into your time clock or however you enter into your job, those that are around about you, listen, God has placed you there. You're a missionary in a mission field. By the way, don't steal from your boss to talk about Jesus, but you can have plenty of opportunity to talk about Jesus to those who are your co-workers. What I'm trying to say is, don't quit working that you might talk to them. You know what I'm saying? And we must do our job as well. And thus we can also speak to them. As a resident, you're a watchman of those who are your neighbors, those who are nearby, those whom you can talk to over the fence, so to say. As family members, we are watchmen. How many find it difficult to talk to family members about Jesus? I mean, be honest tonight. You find it difficult to talk to family members. I know exactly what you're referring to. I did this a while back because I can do it a lot better. I sat down and I wrote a letter to my brother. And I made it fairly lengthy. And went clear back many years ago. And as I was going through that letter, telling him what happened in my life, once again trying to tell him something he could read and read over once again. There are many ways we can do that. And I sent it by snail mail because, well, anyways, it's what I did. I know he got it because I had an email from my niece. And he had said something to her about it. You know, they are hard to talk to sometimes. But they are those we love. Amen. And God's made us watchmen that you and I can warn them. I think about these verses and they really play hard upon me. He says their blood will be upon your hands. There are people that I've known that I haven't talked to about Christ. Fear, stupidity, other things. Interested in other subjects perhaps at the time. We've got all of our reasons, don't we? Their blood's on my hands. Because they've gone to eternity without Christ. And I didn't take a few moments to tell them about Jesus. I would, as the Apostle Paul say, that I'm free from the blood of all men. Don't you? But there is this. From this day forward, there need never be another. How we need to warn them. Those that God puts before us, whether it be in church, whether it be in your home, whether it be on the job, whether it be as you're shopping, it doesn't matter. God allows us these opportunities. And how we need to what? Be that watchman and warn them from God. Amen? We fail miserably. We think we're successful as Christians because of a few little things that happen now and then. When the truth is, there's really scores of people that we just let slip through our fingers. And mostly because we're more interested in ourselves than we are in them. It's a sad scenario, amen? Oh, God, help us. I preach to myself as much as I preach to you tonight. Let's covenant with God to be free from the blood of all men from this Easter Sunday till Jesus comes. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Do that which is needed. Oh God, help us to see. That it's not about us. It's about you. Help us, oh God, to realize and to recognize that there are souls that are in need of the Savior. And we so glibly pass them by over and over. God, forgive us. Oh God, I pray that you would deal with us in this manner. Work in our hearts. Oh God, tonight, whatever needs to be done, do that in our soul. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.